2 Timothy tonight, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Always, always, always remember to smile. Eye contact. Do not force. Was that on the pulpit when the guy made it? Or is that, did you stick? That's a thing I get in pulpits and they have notes stuck. And I read them. I'm supposed to be paying attention here. And I'm reading the notes and stuff. Brother Caribou out there in St. Cloud had, was it Brother Caribou? No, it might have been Daniel Havman in Bismarck. He had a notes of the missionaries that his church supports taped to his pulpit. And I couldn't resist. I got my pen out and added my name to the list. Next night he got in the pulpit. He said, I don't know who scribbled all over this, but he tore it up and threw it away. Amen. 2 Timothy tonight, chapter 4. Verse number 9, Paul writes this to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse 10 says this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Amen. Here's Paul. Putting out a plea for help. I mean, he's at the end of his ministry. He's at the end of his life. In verse 6, he says, for I'm not ready to be offered in the time my departure is at hand. But you know what? It's a good illustration that it's not over till it's over. He's not singing the blues, waiting for the executioner's axe. He's asking for help because there's work that still needs to be done. And that's what he's focused on, and he needs Timothy's help. And he says in verse number 10, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He needs help because, as we saw in verse 11, he's been abandoned by Demas. Interesting, because this is the same Demas that you find mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 14. Paul again writes this, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Amen. That's pretty high ground to be a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, especially in that day and age, that time period, because it wasn't always easy. That's a kind of an understatement, actually. His name shows up the second time of three in Philippians, and for you Bible Institute students, that'd be in chapter 1. So I thought. Verse 23, the Bible says this, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then it says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Demas is listed as a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. And as far as I could see, only seven were mentioned by name. There were others, it looks like, in Philippians chapter 2. I have no problem with that. But, and women too, according to Philippians. I'm glad I have a fellow laborer back there, amen, as we've been on the road over 23 years. I hate to say this, but I don't think I could do what I do without her. I need the encouragement. I need the drive. I need the, you know, it says iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes there's a little friction there. I'm just telling you, that's okay. It's part of it. Amen. But Demas, in 64 A.D., he's traveling with Paul and Luke. And then 2 years later, I believe it's 2 years later, he's a fellow laborer. But by the time we get here, where we saw last mention, it's not so good. He's not in such a good light. Let me say it like this. For several years, at least, he ran with the cream of the crop. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, he was with the greatest soul-winning group in the world. And I get to looking at that, and the question came to me, what happened? What happened to cause Demas to go missing in action? And that'd be the title tonight, Missing in Action. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me. Amen. I read a commentator that mentioned that, I guess he was one of this new age or newer age sympathetic, you know, type of guys. He said, well, he suggested that perhaps it wasn't that Demas left serving the Lord. He just had a conflict with Paul, and Paul was rough, gruff, and hard-charging and focused. I've known some men of God like that. Sometimes they're a little intimidating because they're so focused. Amen. But they suggested that maybe Demas merely left Paul. Well, that takes me to Acts chapter 15. Go there. Hold your place in 2 Timothy. But in Acts chapter 15, let's pick it up in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And it says in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them, between Paul and Barnabas. Amen. Remember, Barnabas is the one that left the revival in Antioch to seek, to go to Tarsus to find Saul and brought him back and had a lot to do with his spiritual maturity. I mean, these guys have been together for a while, and Barnabas no doubt was a great influence, but you know, something came up. It says the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. There's no indication they ever even crossed paths again. Amen. But you got a pretty good indication that Barnabas stayed in the work, because the fruit of it is John Mark, where we find him and mentioned in this passage that he's profitable. But, you know, like I said, this guy's opinion was that perhaps Demas didn't really leave the work, didn't leave serving God, but that he just, you know, departed like Barnabas, departed asunder from Paul. That's ridiculous, because never one time do you ever hear Paul saying, Barnabas hath forsaken me. Amen. On the contrary, the thing says that Barnabas departed having loved this present world. He left the work, man. He abandoned Paul in the trenches at a time where he needed help to the degree that he's written in this epistle, that given some instructions to Timothy, and he says, do thy diligence to come unto me. See, Paul is the one that wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Demas was well aware of the danger of loving this present world. John addressed it in the first epistle in chapter 2. He said it like this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, it does not say that you can't enjoy anything of the world. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. There's some things that I flat out enjoy. I mentioned some last night. It's okay to enjoy some things. It's okay to have fun. It's just the problem if you fall in love with things. We're commanded to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. And then we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then in John 13, we're commanded to love one another even as I have loved you. Now that's high ground right there. Those are three things the Lord told us to love. And I guess the admonition would be, if you fall in love with this world, with the things of this world, seeing as love is an emotion, there's no way you're going to have the right love for the things that you are commanded to love. So there's a danger. It doesn't say you can't enjoy them. It says don't love them. All right, so Demas must have had the right love for all three for a while, but something happened. Something changed. Something caused them to forsake Paul, and it's not a mystery. We're not going to get an investigation going. It's cleared up right in the passage that Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. And it says, it's departed unto Thessalonica. I didn't forget to pray. You're looking at me. I'm just not there yet. I have a note. Pray now. No, not really. And it's departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. You know what? Those are three preacher boys. Three preacher boys of Paul, and they went to three different cities. Only this one didn't go to preach. He went to Thessalonica. He'd been there before. Thessalonica was a seaport. They get noted for, famous among merchants and sailors for their nightlife. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. We talked about the works of the flesh last night, and in Galatians 5:19 said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. In any military town I ever been in, and I've been in quite a few, there's plenty of that going on. Now, lasciviousness is defined very simply as moral looseness. And it's worse now than it ever was. But I just want to say this. If that's what got him, he wasn't the first. And he wasn't the last either. What's interesting to me is that Thessalonica had a great church. It had a great church. Again, that Demas most likely was at some point. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing, this is what Paul wrote about him. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. And that's quite a thing to have said about you by the Apostle Paul. So, but he didn't go there. He didn't go there to the church. He went there. He went missing in action. And it's a sad thing to me that he went to a place where just his very presence on the street would mock his testimony. If you ever did any personal work there, if you ever knocked the door or stood on a street corner or preached or tried to hand out anything, you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, the guy wasn't a stranger to that place. If you're going to go backslide, go off somewhere where nobody knows you so that you're not a reproach to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let alone, you know, there might have been some people in that church that knew him. Knew him by face. Knew that he was with Paul. Maybe he taught a class. Maybe he was an encouragement. Now he's going in and out of bars and God knows what else. I'll tell you something. We don't have the liberty. We don't have the right to discourage other Christians. That's a sad, sad thing. Amen? You know, my question is, what caused Demas to go missing in action? And the Bible doesn't tell us any more about him. This is last mention. But the Bible does say some things about what leads to that kind of thing. And that's what I want to try to help you with tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for, like it's been prayed, thank you for the freedom that we have to assemble. And forgive us for taking that for granted. And help us to redeem the time and however much time we've got left. And I pray, God, tonight that something was said that your spirit can bear witness to, be a blessing and a help to your people. I pray that something said tonight would be pleasing to you and glorifying to your Son. Lord, we're here for one thing and one thing only, and that is to hear from the Spirit of God, draw a little closer to you, whether that's just worship or repentance. Father, help us to stand in a time where it's just easier than ever not to. I appreciate the churches that are standing. And I pray, God, you'd bless them. And I pray, God, you'd bless the service tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Number one. All right, take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 5. I guess, we're going to be back there in 2 Timothy, but Galatians chapter 5, we were there last night. Tonight, we're going to look at verse 16. And we're looking at whatever might have caused Demas to go wrong. I'll tell you what, this has to do with people going wrong these days. It says in verse 16, Paul writes this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I mean, isn't the antithesis equally true? If you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's what Demas is doing now. He's forsaken Paul. I mean, yeah, having loved this present world, and he's out there, and the flesh is running the show. And you start walking in the flesh start running, just showing your life too. And I don't care how long you've been saved or how many verses you know or what you can tell me about the King James Bible. If this guy who ran with Paul for 2 years can go off rails, so can you. Amen. And that's what I get out of it when I read that. I'm thinking, whoa, that tells me I better keep my guard up. Amen. And verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. That's not all giving them a hard time. That's war, man. Amen. The flesh, and then it says, and the spirit against the flesh. That's what spiritual warfare is. I know people that read it. I know people that can quote verses about spiritual warfare, and then things come along in their life, and it's obvious that they have no idea what it really is. They're blindsided. They're in pastor's office going, I can't believe this happened. And the pastors are going, really? I've preached on it. I've taught on it. I've encouraged you to read on it. Amen. Maybe we should start working on becoming Bible practicers. Amen. We believe it's the Word of God, but we don't do what it says. All right? And so, listen, the flesh not only is not saved, it's at war with the Spirit, like Romans 7 tells us. And so then not only that, the God of this world, small g, even in my notes, small g, I won't even give the stinking devil that much credit. The God of this world has raised the stakes in these last days. And we see it in churches. The temptation to compromise, to succumb to carnality is greater than ever. So what do we do about it, Brother Spurgeon? Is that just the word Laodicea? And that's the way it goes. Listen, I refuse to be defined by the definition of the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. I refuse to go with the flow. We don't have to. God always had a remnant. Amen. All right, take your Bible, go to Psalm 119. 119, verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. This is what you do about it. It says, and sometimes we fail. Sometimes we mess up. Here's how you fix it. It says Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. There it is again. Verse 11, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It looked to me like if hiding the word of God in your heart can help you combat sinning against God, combat that flesh that we all are still in, amen, it'd probably be a good idea. I mean, this isn't some secret formula. What can I do? It's been there in English over 400 years. Hide the word of God in your heart. Somebody asked one time, Brother Spurgeon, what do you think the problem is with so much sin in the camp? You know, I'll tell you what, it might have something to do with that. I mean, that's pretty clear. We can wave it around, tuck it under our arm, but amen. That's not the formula for not sinning against God. Amen. It's getting a hold of it in your heart. You got to believe on Jesus Christ in your heart to be saved. That's where you need to put the book. Amen. Amen. And so, the question is, what caused demons to go missing in action? And I just submit to you, I'm not sure, but I tell you this. Maybe his relationship with the scriptures slipped. Maybe. And I want to say this. You better not let your relationship with the scriptures slip. That was a little tongue-tied there. Because you might end up missing an action too. And it can happen. And it can happen to me. And it can happen to you. You hear me? How I love Jesus. Amen. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about staying in the fight. We're not talking about going missing in action. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We can't emphasize more the importance of the Word of God. All right, number two. See, it's going kind of fast after the long intros, you know. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Now, the book says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. I remember seeing a little license plate on the front of a car in Alabama. Before I got saved, I went around on my motorcycle, and I don't know why, but I noticed it. And it said this, that God is my co-pilot. Now, I wasn't saved. I didn't know how ridiculous that is from a Christian viewpoint. But I remember chuckling and saying to myself, if God was my co-pilot, I'd have killed us both by now. Amen. Let me tell you something. God's not going to be anybody's co-pilot. Amen. He's a gentleman. If you insist on directing your own path, ordering your own steps, he'll let you. He'll get out of the way. He'll say, hey, let me know when you need me to head back in to take control. And he'll get out of your way. That book says this, Proverbs chapter 3. You're familiar with the verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice how that snuck in there? Because that's what we do. I'm talking about that's what Christians do. We get a little experience. We've seen some things. We've done some things. And the next thing you know, situation presents itself. And boy, we got an answer just like that. No prayer, no talking to God, no considering. There might be some details that you're not aware of at any given point in time. We lean on our understanding. I've been guilty of it. It scares me. Amen. And lo and behold, right there it is. That's the opposite of trusting in the Lord with all your heart. You see that? And the next verse says this. In all, in most, in some. No, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. You got to ask God to direct your path. You know, if number one had to do with the Word of God, maybe his relationship with the Word of God slipped. But I'm going to tell you something else that's important. You need to talk to God. You need to pray to God. You need to ask God for directions for him to direct your path. Maybe Demas has got where other people I know got to where he wasn't asking God for direction anymore. Maybe he got so secure in his experience and his knowledge and his crowd that he's running with. Maybe he got so secure in all that he started directing his own path. And I've seen it. Amen. There are better men than me that the FBI couldn't find with a warrant tonight because they had it all figured out. The longer I've been saved, the more I realized what I don't know. The more I'm humbled that he would even save me, let alone let me in a pulpit. I'm honored with the responsibility to preach for Brother Stevens, what's your name again? Brother Grissom here. Called his name wrong, forgot his name. I'm an evangelist. Doesn't even bother me. Amen. I want to say this to you. One thing for sure, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall. And one thing for sure, Demas wasn't acknowledging the Lord in all his ways because the Lord did not direct him on the path that he took when he forsook Paul, having loved this present world. Amen. I'll tell you something too. If you're not acknowledging him in all your ways, you're directing your own path. Amen. How'd that work out before he got saved? It didn't work out so good for me. I was in jail. I'd lived a life of drug abuse and drinking and crime and death. The motorcycle gangs, I buried 41 of my own guys. Amen. Now by the time I'm 37 years old, I'm waking up in a jail cell every morning. I just got involved in that lifestyle because I wanted to be free. I didn't want to be told what to do. And now I'm in a room with a toilet sticking out of the wall every morning. It took a couple months before I wouldn't admit it to anybody, but I did admit it to myself. There just might be an outside chance that I'm not as smart as I thought I was because this is a long way from where I was supposed to be. Amen. That was a great day in my life. It wasn't long after that that I got saved. But you might not be like that. I'm sure most of you weren't. Maybe you're different. Maybe you're an honest person, decent person, moral person, church-going person. Now, I like them low-life bikers. It amazes me the comments that I see Christians make about Harley riders. Let me tell you something. Some of them got more loyalty, got more respect than some Christians I know. I don't even know where that came from, but there it is. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, no matter who you were, no matter what you are directing your path straight into a devil's hell without Jesus Christ. And I got to say this, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, that's still where you're headed. Amen. I guarantee that Demas quit letting the Lord order his steps. And I'm going to say to you tonight, you better not. Because if you do, one day you might be missing in action. Say, it won't happen to me. I preach to empty pews all over the country every week that were once filled with people that were saved, loved God, some of them serving God for a long time, that for one reason or another, they're out. And most of them, they never dreamed they would be. You think Demas ever dreamed he'd be recorded in this eternal book like this? Amen. So, number one has to do with your relationship to the Word of God. Amen. And number two has to do with your prayer life, with acknowledging God, with letting the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You got to ask him. He ain't going to fly across with a skywriter. Amen. Or Google, or what day and age do we live? I got to get up to date now. Huh? All right. And last of all, this is going kind of quick. Maybe I should start over. What do you think? Who said that? Matt Anderson, a Marine. Only a Marine would say that. Amen. Proverbs 27. Of course, Marines need to hear everything at least twice, sometimes three times. Amen. So God brings in a paratrooper to do the job. Amen. Good to see you, brother. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Go ahead and turn there. Now, we're trying to figure out what caused Demas to go missing in action. And I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I know what causes people to go missing in action these days. Well, since I've been at this a little while, not as long as some of you old folks, but, a little while. Proverbs 27, one of my favorite verses, verse 17. Now, the book says this, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It says iron sharpeneth iron. It's important to be around iron. I mean something solid. Let me tell you something. Now this right here, that's a high quality piece of cutlery right there. It is razor sharp. But if I opened letters with that and cut styrofoam cups, that quality knife would dull. And I'm going to tell you something, you get hanging around the wrong crowd, you spend too much time with the wrong crowd, and your sharpness will dull too. What are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? I'm saying this, we need each other. Yeah. You know what a backslidden Christian will do? He'll go hang around somebody that's else is backslidden, or some liberal Christian, or lost people, because it's real easy to appear way more spiritual than you ever are. But boy, I'll tell you what, to be where you're supposed to be challenged by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, amen, sometimes that does rub you the wrong way. That's what sharpening does. Amen. But that's what it'll do for you. It'll keep you sharp. I don't know what happened to Demas for sure, but I know this. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's deep, isn't it? And it'll rub off on you. Some of you need to be, yeah, me too. It says this, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, that King James Bible is so hard to understand. That is just common sense. Yes. Amen. I know it to be true. Peer pressure, we talk about peer pressure. You preach, Brother Barbara, you preach to these kids on about peer pressure. I'm waiting for you to answer, son. Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you something. You know why we hit the young people on peer pressure like we do? So they won't be a slave to it all their life like some of us have been. Peer pressure isn't a teenager problem. Peer pressure isn't a kid problem. Peer pressure is a human being problem. And you can't get around it. Amen. Let you move up in the woods by yourself. Amen. Like McFadden would probably do. He'd take Ralph with him, and then we never hear from either one of us again. That's an inside story. Amen. But you're going to be around people. You cannot control peer pressure. You're going to be subject to it. It's part of human nature. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You have control over who your peers are. Amen. You can make sure that you're subject to the right kind of pressure. This is my crowd. Amen. Brother Stevens and Brother Grissom and others, some of you guys I've known for years and years, this is what I need to stay sharp. Amen. I don't know why you're making fun of me on Facebook. No, my crowd doesn't use Facebook. My crowd, my age group. Yours does, probably. But But I'll tell you what, we're all affected by the people we hang around. You better choose your peers carefully. Even better, prayerfully. Amen. And so you don't end up missing an action. I don't want to be missing an action. I didn't get saved until I was almost 38 years old. I'm reminded of what Peter told the Lord in John chapter 6. To whom shall we go? Listen, I've been out there. I've been around the block too many times. There's nothing out there. There's no place to go. It doesn't get any better than this. The next best step is up. And that's true. Paul said this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I guarantee you, old Demas, back in when he was in Colossae, or a fellow running as a fellow laborer of Paul, I guarantee he never dreamed, never thought he'd have been remembered like this. If you even implied, hey, Demas, you're kind of, getting a little worldly, he'd have probably swelled up on you wanting to fight. I've seen Christians do that. Who do you think you're talking to? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, in the old days, we took better care of ourselves than some Christians I know. In the old days, we heeded our friends better than some Christians I know. We get mad if somebody tries to warn us, hey, brother, you need to think about that. Hey, I'm saved. Who are you? Number 13, all over again. All right. I'll tell you why this is in here. And this is last mentioned. This is the way Demas is remembered. Amen. Why? Did God have a super grudge against Demas? No. Demas is far from the first person that departed. Maybe Paul did. Maybe Paul got up there and said, boy, that guy, that really bummed me out. I really needed him. Make sure. And no, it's not there for any of those reasons. You know why that verse is in there? We're reading tonight, our text tonight. It's there for a warning. It's a warning. If it could happen to him, it could happen to me. It could happen to you. So I may just say real simple tonight. If you get out of that book, if you quit praying, amen, you won't even want to be around people that are in that book and are praying. You'll get critical. Amen. Your flesh will cause your affections to turn back to that world, and you'll have plenty of friends along the way. But they'll be the wrong kind of friends, and it'll be the wrong way. Again, this is last mention of Demas. He messed up big time. Doesn't indicate anywhere he ever got it right. But back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is an encouragement to me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we did read the verse. We're going to read verse 11 again. Verse 11, it says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And we read the verse. Remember in Acts 15, the contention between Paul and Barnabas had to do with John Mark leaving the work. Left Paul, left that missionary journey. And Paul didn't have much sympathy, but I'll tell you something. He must have got right somewhere along the way. I bet he was glad old Uncle Barnabas was a little more patient. He was problematic in Acts 15. Now he's remembered as being profitable. I would say being able to write the Gospel of Mark is profitable, wouldn't you? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 says this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And I'm happy to report, I'm glad, that how you finish is more important than how you started. Yeah, amen. John Mark had some bumps along the way, and he's not the only one. But he finished right. Some of us had some bumps along the way. Some of us had some problems. Some of us got started real late. But by the grace of God, we can finish right. We can finish right, and I want to finish right. And how you finish is more important than how you start. Amen. So let me just say, I'll wrap it up. I know this is quick, but if you're on the wrong track tonight, in any of those ways, in your relationship with your Bible, in your prayer life, in your desire, okay, we got to go to church. No, you got it wrong. We get to go to church. Amen. There's Christians all over this world that wish they could do what we do.
we take for granted.
Amen? So if you're on the wrong track tonight in any of those areas, then it's time to switch tracks. It's not that difficult. And very near tonight, and you're not saved, and I don't know everybody, the Bible says, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's done everything necessary for you to be forgiven. That makes it your move. I hope you make the right move. If there's any way we can help, we'll open a Bible and help you. But you're going to have to come to it. You're going to have to come to an understanding. You are a hell-deserving sinner. I dealt with a guy last night, and he's not ready. It's still kind of a little game to him. And if he ever gets a hold of he'll claim to be, he understands he's a sinner, but he has no comprehension of the grace of God. And if he ever gets it, he'll get in on it. And I hope he does.